gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send forth the angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. It is written, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. It is written, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. It is as when a man, sojourning in another country, having left his house, and given authority to his servants, to each one his work, commanded also the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the Lord of the house cometh, whether at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. If he should come tomorrow, the meek and holy one, and walk familiar pathways beneath the glowing sun, what king would hail his coming, what seer proclaim his birth? If he should come tomorrow, would he find peace on earth? If he should come tomorrow, what marvels would he see? Great wings that fly in heaven, great ships that sail the sea, a church spire rising to praise his holy name, but human hearts unchanged and human greed the same. As in the days of Herod, the money changer still, within God's house conspiring against God's holy will. The messengers in exile, corruption on the throne, in all the little company disbanded and alone. Oh, let him come in glory with all the power of God, begirt with shining legions to rule with iron rod, till greed be purged from out the hearts of men, lest he who comes tomorrow be crucified again.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from Mark chapter 13, the question, Lord, when are you coming again? Mark 13 is similar to Matthew 24. Both chapters tell of the longest answer that Jesus ever gave to any question he was ever asked. The question or questions that were asked were in regards to the destruction of Jerusalem and his second coming. They went forth out of the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, Master, behold, what manner of stones and what manner of buildings! Shortly before coming out of the temple, Jesus had shown them a great marvel, the marvelous sight of the woman who gave two mites which make a farthing. Now that he has shown them a great sight, one of the disciples wanted to show him one. Lord, look at these buildings. The temple was one of the wonders of the world. The white stones, overlaid with gold, shone so brightly in the early morning sun that people had to shade their eyes, and from a distance the white stones looked like snow on the mountain. What a contrast! The apostles looked and marveled at stones, and the Lord looked and marveled at two mites which make a farthing. What a difference! The answer of the Lord to them was when he said, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The Lord's attitude of this doomed city seemed almost to be one of indifference, Listen again. Seest thou these stones? There shall not be left here one stone that shall not be thrown down. His attitude of doomed people, however, was different. He wept over the city before the triumphal entry, and when he left the temple shortly before he made this prediction, he expressed sorrow. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets! How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen, gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Ladies and gentlemen, people today are more concerned about things that are doomed than things that are eternal. Our buildings are doomed. There shall not be left here one stone on another that shall not be thrown down. How about the Twin Towers? The Super Bowl stadium shall be thrown down. Not one stone shall be left on another that shall not be thrown down. This prediction of Jesus was so mind-boggling that later on, when they were on the Mount of Olives, four of them, namely Peter, James, John, and Andrew, came to him and said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign, and when these things are about to be accomplished?" Matthew adds in the ingredient about his return, "the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world." When they asked these questions, they just naturally supposed that when this happened, that would be the end of all things. In the days of the Roman Empire, there was a saying, "When the Colosseum falls, Rome falls. When Rome falls, the world." The apostles had the same equation. When the temple falls, Jerusalem falls. When Jerusalem falls, the world. In the answer that Jesus gave, he would be addressing the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and also the end of the world and his second coming. A part of the Lord's answer regarded the destruction of Jerusalem. Such terms as, "See that your flight be not in winter," would be hard to fit into the scenario of the second coming. Of course, on the other hand, in one sense, it would apply that to any period of time. "See that your flight be not in winter," regarding the seasons of life. There is the springtime of childhood, the summertime of adult life, the autumn of middle age, and the winter of old age. When it comes to making a decision for your soul salvation, see that your flight be not in winter. We might think that people in the winter of life, knowing that their days dwindle down day by day, would be crowding the church meetings, reading the Bible, consulting preachers for answers about salvation. We might think that, but it is not the case. Most decisions to accept Christ are made in the spring of life, and perhaps the summer of life. The older a person waits, the less chance there is that they will take their flight from this world in a saved state. Mark gives good counsel here. Pray that your flight be not in winter. The frost of the autumn of life lessens your desire for spiritual things. Very rarely do we have additions to Christ of the elderly. Don't wait until your mind is frozen over in spiritual matters. To use a phrase of Paul to Timothy, come before winter. However, since the fall of Jerusalem took place in 70 AD, we are not concerned about that at this time. Only the question, what shall be the sign of thy coming? We ask, Lord, when are you coming again? For the answer to such a question, they certainly came to the right person. Who would know the answer to that any better than the Lord Jesus? We ask it also as we look at Mark chapter 13. Lord, when are you coming? This is a logical question when we note the many times in Scripture when that question has been asked. At the ascension of Christ, the angels prophesied, "This same Jesus, who shall be received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." And Jesus said one time, "And if I go, I come again." We can be just as sure that Jesus will come again as we can be sure that he told us the truth. There was one day in my life, however, that I fully expected the Lord to return. For years, people would ask, "Do you believe that mankind will ever get to the moon?" I was always noncommittal. I knew years ago that we had the technology, but I never thought it was God's will that we do it. In July of 1969, I sat on the couch and watched as a spacecraft settled down on the moon. I saw the ladder put down to the moon's surface. I edged up on the edge of the seat to put myself in position. I thought, surely, the Lord will return before the foot of the astronaut touches the surface of the moon. And I wanted to be ready to take off like a rocket and go through the ceiling and meet the Lord in the air. Well, obviously, it was not the time for his return. But I still believe the day will come when all the saints of God will rise to meet Jesus in the air. The only thing is, we just don't know when it will be. Let us listen in to what the Lord told this quartet, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, who probably asked for the benefit of all the apostles, and see if we can find out when the Lord says that he will return. In the fifth verse, he began by saying, "Take heed that no man lead you astray." That statement of Jesus needs as much attention as any other. There was a popular radio program years ago where a preacher was answering questions that people called in to ask. Someone called in with the question, "When is the Lord going to return?" The answer given that day was, "Well, the Lord is not coming again." That's what that preacher said. He said he's too busy to bother about coming here again, and those people who say he is coming again have misinterpreted the scriptures. I thought at that moment of the words of the angels to the apostles on the Mount of Olives, "This Jesus who is received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." And I thought to myself, how could anyone misinterpret a statement like that? Another preacher said one time in a book where he was described as one of the world's greatest preachers, he said, if the Lord would come again, he would be rushed off immediately to an insane asylum. What's more, said he, how would he come? Would he come in the east wearing a toga or in the west wearing a business suit? The statement in Revelation came to mind, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him." Today, because of television, we can understand how every eye can see him. If we can see people talking to other people in different parts of the world on the television screen, it is easy to see how the Lord can use his television screen of the sky and appear to everybody, past, present, and future, when he returns. In verse 6, he continued, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray." This has been fulfilled, of course, many times, but for now, Lord, when are you coming again? In verse 7, he says, "We shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Be ye not troubled, these things must needs come to pass, but the end is not yet." That surely is an enlightening statement. What we always suppose that when there was a war, that was a sign of the end of the world. Whenever we hear of a war or the rumor of a war or the threat of a war, people just naturally start thinking, this is it. Here he comes. Jesus said, not yet. Not yet. The end is not yet. As a young man getting ready to go to Bible college many years ago to prepare for the ministry, it looked like at that time that World War II was ready to start. And I was afraid that the Lord might return before I would have a chance to do anything in the Lord's service. I asked my preacher, "When is the Lord coming again?" He very wisely said, "Well, a man makes a fool of himself trying to set a time when the Lord will return." But I was not satisfied with that and asked him again, "Well, I know that, but how long do you think it will be until Jesus comes, since the conditions of the world are as they are at this time?" He said, "The way things are going, it looks like we may have about 15 years yet." Ladies and gentlemen, I was thrilled with that. I was satisfied with it. I thought at least I will have about 15 years to work for the Lord before he returns. Ladies and gentlemen, that 15-year period has come and gone over four times, and I am still waiting and working and watching. I really do believe the Lord Jesus is coming again. The only thing is, I just don't know when it will be. In verse 8, he says that these things, along with famines, are only the beginning. The gospel, he said, must first be preached unto all nations. Now, I'm interested to hear that. It seems that the gospel has been preached unto all nations already, although we hear there are millions who have never heard the name of Christ mentioned. That statement has possibilities. That statement intrigues me. Listen, the gospel must first be preached. The gospel must first be preached if we would know the terms of pardon. The gospel must first be preached if we would go to heaven. Jesus said later, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Yet the gospel must first be preached. Every person must be given the chance to hear about the first gospel sermon where the penitent believers were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." At least for now, we can narrow it down some as to when he will come again. In one sense of the thought, the end will come for everyone at the end of that person's life. A person of 50 can reasonably expect to see the Lord in about 20 years, whether you are prepared for it or not. A person of 20 can reasonably expect to see the Lord in about 50 years. A person of 60 can reasonably expect to see the Lord in about 10 short years. Yes, the end will come for all, one way or the other, at the end of life. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. But we still ask, Lord, tell us, when are you coming again? Jesus continues. He tells of the destruction of Jerusalem, and then about the 24th verse, he gets back to the second coming when he tells how the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. The angels will gather the elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth and to the uttermost part of the heaven. Lord, when are you coming again? Well, he says, look at the fig tree. When it puts forth its leaves, you know the summer is nigh. His reference to summer thrills me. Is it possible that heaven will be summertime all the time? Ladies and gentlemen, when you see these signs, you know that I am at the door. At last he tells us when he says, but of that day or hour no one knoweth, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son but the Father only. There's the answer. Jesus says to all who ask him, I don't know. While on earth, he did not know when he would come again. Only the Father knows. The angels don't know. They did not know even though they were in heaven. Now think about that. Jesus is the greatest preacher who ever lived. The officer said one time, never man so spake. Yet this great preacher said, I don't know when I'm coming again. He was the greatest lawyer. He is our advocate with the Father. Yet he said, I don't know. He is the greatest architect. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. He made the plans for the church made of precious living stones. But as to his return, he said, I don't know. He's the greatest engineer. He's the beginning. In the beginning did lay the foundations of the earth. Yet he said, I don't know. He was the greatest scholar. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Yet he said, I don't know. At last we have the answer. When will the Lord come? I don't know. That's what Jesus said. And if he did not know, and someone says they do know, he or she evidently knows more than the Lord knows. Now these words in conclusion. Even though he said he did not know, he gave us some concluding advice. He said, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. I don't know, and you don't know either. But he did say that we are to watch and pray. There are eight things the Lord asked us to pray for specifically in the 89 chapters of the Gospel record, and one of the eight things is that we are to pray in regards to the second coming. Peter said that we are to earnestly desire the coming of the day of God. And John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Paul said, "He will come a second time apart from sin unto them who look for him unto salvation." Ladies and gentlemen, do you want the Lord to come today? I mean, right now. If you don't want him to come, now there must be a good reason that you have why you don't want him to come. We need to pray like the Apostle John. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." If he should come today and find my hands so full of future plans, however fair, in which my Savior had no share, what would he say? If he should come today and find my heart so cold, my faith so weak and dim, I had not even looked for him, what would he say? If he should come today and find I had not told one friend about that heavenly friend whose blessings all my ways attend, what would he say? If he should come today, would I be glad, knowing that he died for all and none through me had heard his call, what would he say? Then the Lord continues, "It is as when a man, going into another country, left his house and gave authority to his servants, commanded also the porter to watch. We cannot stand on tiptoe all the time, scanning the sky, looking for the Lord's return. The word for watch here has the meaning of an unblinking watchfulness, an unsleeping watchfulness, so watch for it. We are to watch as we do the work that has been allotted to us. The church needs to watch for lost souls. The church needs to watch in the area of false doctrine. The church needs to watch in all of these places. The greatest area to watch is to watch yourself. Remember, this man who went to another country left his house. Obviously, the man referred to here is Jesus, and he went away and left his church house. He gave authority to his servants, to each his work. He wants us to work in the church, and each one has been given a specific job to do, to each his work. When will the Lord come? He said, "I don't know, but when he comes, we need to be watching." He said it could be at even, or midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Note that all these times mentioned are in the night watch. Nothing is said about the daytime, even midnight, cock crowing, or morning. From this we realize at first glance that he will come sometime between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. That's true. It will also be 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the other side of the world. We not only don't know the day, we don't even know the hour. He said, "When I say unto you, that you would be to the apostles, what I say unto you, I say unto all," that includes us, "watch." The watchword is even to us as it was to the apostles. Watch. Lord, when are you coming again? I woke, and the night was passing. Then over the hills there shone a star in its beauty when the other stars were gone. For a glory was filling the heavens that came before the day, and the gloom and the stars together faded and passed away. Only the star of the morning glowed in the crimson sky. It was like a clear voice singing, "Rejoice, for the sun is nigh. O children, a star is shining into the hearts of men. It is Christ with a voice of singing, 'Rejoice, for I am coming again.'" Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.